We continue our learning. We are in Yevamos, Perek Dezayin, Mishnah Beis. Now, we've already learned that a woman cannot testify to permit her sister-in-law to remarry. We learned that in the fourth Mishnah in Perek Tezvav, because these are one of the women that we assume that there's animosity between them. So let's say you have two sisters-in-law. So that means that they're married to, they're not related, but their husbands are brothers. So each one is testifying that her personal husband died. Neither wants to, that normally when you testify your husband died, you're believed to remarry. But here, there's a potential yibum. And if you're bound to a yavam, your sister-in-law's husband, for yibum, the testimony that the husband died is only acceptable regarding you, but not regarding your sister-in-law, the other person who we don't believe your testimony because you may be lying. So if we have independent witnesses to testify one of the brothers-in-law died, so his yavam is allowed to remarry. But if we're only using the testimony of each of these wives of the brothers, of these sisters-in-law, so that's not going to be effective. So that's the case in the Mishnah. Shtei yavamos. Yeah, two yavamos. Zo omeres meis bali, v'zo omeres meis bali. So these women are not related, but they're married to two brothers, no children. One said, my husband died. And that, by the way, is permitted. That's enough to allow her to remarry. That's typically what we know from the beginning of the 15th parak. But the problem here is that since there's a yibum issue, and we want to determine that the almana's yavam died also, and this way there's no zika, there's no bond to yibum, well, the only way to do that is through the testimony of the other person who's testifying that her husband died. But that testimony only works for her, and that doesn't work for her sister-in-law. So the Mishnah here says, each of these widows is not allowed to remarry. Why? Because I have no testimony to that from other independent witnesses to establish that the yavam, the other person's husband, died. Is still alive, so she's not allowed to remarry unless she has chalitza. So, yes, the sister-in-law's testimony is acceptable regarding herself, but we know we're afraid that that maybe she's testifying. We know it's not acceptable. Maybe she's making up a story of her own husband's death in order to make life difficult for her sister-in-law when the husband actually comes back, and then she will have remarried without performing yibum. So therefore, it's true the two widows' testimony is accepted regarding herself. We believe each of them that they're a widow, that their husband died, but not in relation to the sister-in-law. So that's why we don't have a choice. We have to assume that relative to each of these women, her yavam is still alive and therefore would need chalitza, and therefore there's nothing we could do. So what about the following? Lazo Adim, Velazo Adim. So here, Velazo Ain Adim. So one of these widows, one of these sisters-in-law, one of the wives of these two brothers, brought Adim, that the husband died. But the other one didn't. The other one is just testifying herself that the husband died. So now, and it doesn't actually have to be witnesses in plural, it can be even a witness. The bottom line is, someone else is testifying. As Sheyesh La Adim Asura, here's what's interesting. The one who has Adim is not allowed to remarry. There's She'ein La Adim Muteris. The one who does not have Adim is allowed to remarry. Why is that so? So the one who brought Adim, she can't marry someone else, remarry right now. Why? Because the only testimony that she has regarding the Yavam, that the Yavam died, is her sister-in-law. But that she's not allowed to be remarried based on that without chalitza. So, but the one who doesn't have Adim is allowed to remarry because there are independent witnesses, or there's a witness who's coming to testify that there's no yavam. She's allowed to remarry because her testimony is allowed in testifying that her own personal husband died. And the testimony of the witness is effective in assuming that their brother of her husband died, that the yavam died. So that's why, therefore, the one who has Adim is Asura, but the one who does not have Adim is Muteres. Lazo Vanim v'lazo Ein Banim. Let's say you have one of the two sisters-in-law had children with her husband, and therefore she has no mitzvah of Yibum, but the other didn't. And in this case, neither of them had witnesses to the husband dying. Each one testified that her own personal husband died. Eshe Yesh Labanim Muteres. the one who has children is allowed to remarry because her own testimony says that her husband died, and the fact that she has children means that she doesn't yibam a chalitza. But v'she'en la banim asura. She may be testifying that her husband died, but she can't remarry. Her own testimony says that her husband passes away, but she needs proof that her yavam died. And the testimony of the sister-in-law is not sufficient for that. And why does she need testimony that her yavam died? Because this one had children. And since that, does not have children. And since she does not have children, she has the mitzvah of yibam. The other one didn't have children, didn't have that problem. Once her husband died, she can remarry. The one who has children, though, the one who does not have children, rather, is asura, because there's still a mitzvah potential of yibam. Nisyabmu. So let's say where there were no children, no edim at all, but there are two other brothers. So besides these two brothers, there are two other brothers who can perform yibam. So each sister-in-law testified that her husband died, and they're believed. And each widow, therefore, was able to have they're able to have yibam with these brothers. And in fact, they were engaged for, they had that kiddushin, that mamar for yibam. And in this case, each one had actually went through with the yibam. Each one had yibam with one of the husband's surviving brothers based on her own testimony. So here you have, Reuven and Shimon are married to these two women, let's say Sarah and Chana, not related. So now Sarah said Reuven died, and Chana said that Shimon died. And now, but the two other brothers, so you have Levi and Yehuda, let's say. So Sarah marries Levi, and Chana marries Yehuda, and that's a regular Yibam. Umesu ha-Yivamim. And now the Yivamim died. The brothers who performed Yibam, they die without children, and there are no other brothers that we know of. Only the brothers that they testified that died, and of course the brothers that just died right now. So what do we need now? Each of these almanos would require testimony that the first brother-in-law, right, the other one's husband, who had been, we assume, was dead, is really dead, so she'd be free from yibum, because she's a widow now, and that potentially it could be yibum at this point. So in this case, umesu hayivamim asurus linase, these two widows can't remarry. Each one's statement that her own personal husband died is not helpful regarding the sister-in-law. Each one has a possible yavam. This is after they had one yibum with Levi and Yehuda, but Levi and Yehuda are no longer alive. So now maybe Sarah needs yibum from Shimon, and Chana needs it from Reuven. We don't know, because then we only have their own personal testimony. So they're not allowed to remarry. Rabbi Elazar Omer, no. Hoil v'hutru la yivamin, hutru l'chol adam. He says if a woman's testimony was effective for his sister-in-law, and then she could remarry based on that testimony, meaning what happened here? Each widow married a yavam based on her own statement that the first husband died. So here, here we have to, Rabbi Elazar believes that we have the right now to allow them to be mutter to everybody after they were mutter the yivam. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ho will behutru la yivamim, hutru l'chol adam. Here, we don't have to be worried that, oh, I know the witness, the idea was to ruin the sister-in-law. Why? She married herself. And if the husband would come back, she would be her whole life would be ruined as well. So once we allow this regarding the Yevamim, we allow them to remarry. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, in this case, we allow them they'll be free after their husbands, Levi and Yehuda, pass away. I read the Bar Tanura. Hol v'hutu la'yivamim b'ches kashemesu b'aleihem. Once we permit them to the yibam with the chazaka that their husbands died, hutru lina se'la shuk. Then if these new husbands died, these yivamim, so then they're permitted. We don't have to worry. Desulo chayshinon shemehem b'chayim. We don't have to worry now that they are alive. Once we allow them to remarry, assuming that their husbands died, so then they can even do so now, even after these two yivamim, the extra ones, are no longer alive. Tez perek tez zayin mishnah gimel. Ein me'idim el al partzuf panim im hachotem. So here we're going to speak about that you need to testify that a husband died. So anytime anyone's testifying to a man's death, So this is, we have to figure out, how do we know? What are you testifying about that you can be assured that they're dead? So the Mishnah says you have to be made on parts of Hapanim regarding the face, imachotem, with the nose. They have to recognize the face of this body and the nose as well. We speak about the face that refers to the cheeks. And if a cheek, let's say, or the nose is missing, so then you have not identified it properly. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf says that also we need the meitzach, you need the forehead in order to accept the identification. What about the eyes and the mouth? So if those are not intact, it doesn't mean that you cannot identify. So the Mishnah is coming to teach you. You need parts of panim with the chotem, with the nose. And that's true even if you have simanim on the body or even kalim, even clothing. Meaning if the face, you couldn't recognize the face, just because there are certain marks on the body that are recognizable, that this is the person, you can't identify the body that way. But that's only true with certain simanim that are very common. Certain height or a certain complexion of the skin, even if there's a wart there. But if something that is, let's say, a limb that's missing, something that's very, very unusual, so that would be acceptable. Some poskim hold that this is only true if the head was the only part of the body that was available to identify. Let's say the whole body was available. So then, even if you don't have those parts of the face, like if I recognize the form of the body, even without the nose and the cheeks and the meitzach and the forehead, that would be okay. And others disagree, lahalacha. And we said uvikelav, which means that even if I have a mark on the clothing that was worn by, and this is be true, by the way, even it's a very something unusual that's on the clothing, it still doesn't work. And then that may work on the body, but not on the clothing. Why? It's because it's obvious that this could be the clothing was lent to some, was borrowed from someone else, and therefore this is not that person. Some poskim hold, if someone has, let's say, a chosam, a signet ring, or a kiss, a money pouch, which people don't normally lend out, that you can use to identify. There's a discussion about that. Ein me'idin el al ad she'teitzei nafsho. Also, the witnesses can only testify that they saw the husband die if you have circumstantial evidence that is not going to be acceptable. That means that, but if let's say the body was, he was wounded, mortally wounded, miguyad, cut all over. So it's possible that maybe the Gemara assumes from the Gemara that maybe they cut the body with a knife that was hot that would cauterize any of the cuts that it had, and maybe he wouldn't bleed out. So therefore, maybe it looks like he's mortally wounded, but maybe he will live. So just testifying that you're so mortally wounded is not enough. Vitzalav, he's hanging by the arms. But if he's hanging by the neck, the poskim say that then we would permit the wife to remarry. And others say even there, who knows, maybe the rope was cut before he died, and then maybe he still lived. And achaya ocheles abo. Let's say he's being devoured by a wild animal. So if we see that's not going to make a difference either. Except, says the Bar Tanura, dafka mamokam shein afsho yotza. That's only if the animal is devouring a part of the body that's where the soul would not leave, literally depart through that. But avamokam shein afsho yotza, certain part of the brain, the heart, where is a where it's an essential limb, an essential organ, let's say, then made alav shumesi. See, it's devouring as an essential organ, so then we permit her to remarry based on that, even though the person was not actually dead. And then the Mishnah says, "Ein mi'idin ela ad shlosha yamim." They can only testify if they recognize the body within 3 days after the person died. But after that, we know that the features of the body are distorted after 3 days, after decomposition, and therefore you're not able to identify. This is only true, though, when the only identification we're using are the features of the face. But let's say the other marks on the body, then with that together, with the recognizing the face and other marks, maybe that would be acceptable even after 3 days. No, I don't have this fixed 3 days for recognizing the body. After that, it's not acceptable. Lo chala adam, v'lo chala makomas, v'lo chala shovin. Not all people, not all places, and not all times are going to be alike. Bar Tanur says, yesh lecha adam shim emayher lihina feyach. You have a body certain that literally that swells much a lot quicker. Could go to adam shamein. person who's obese, so they swell or decompose quickly. V'yesh makom she'adam, more than thin people, believe it or not, v'yesh makom she'adam emaher lahasriach lishtanos bo. Certain places, based on the climate, could go to makom chama, where the body decomposes a lot quicker. Then, v'yesh l'chasha she'olam cham, the Adam, but not a particular place, a certain time, let's say a certain, not only climate, not only place, but let's say you have a certain season where you'll say that, oh, the body generally decomposes a lot quicker. Says the Bar Tanura, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, whether it's to be lenient or be strict, but halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, we assume that it has to be within 3 days.